shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. That's right. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Tonight, we continue looking at the Joe Paterno situation, and it's not a Joe Paterno situation. It's a molested children situation. It's a sexually abused kid situation. It is abused children. That's what we're talking about. Joe Paterno, with all due respect to the career the guy's had, is not number one on my hit parade. I don't particularly care. I think he's had a great career. If he's been smart, he's invested his money. I'm sure he's made a lot. I know that it's a hell of a note. And I'm sure the truth will out. But there's one very obvious thing going on here. You know, something happened in the locker room, in the facilities used by the Penn State football team. Something so odious happened that even if you did go to the principal or the headmaster or, in this case, the university president and said, by the way, a kid was sexually assaulted in the locker room. I thought I'd let you guys know because this is the chain of command. It's so unbelievable considering the fact that you have to go to work there every day. You know, it during the spring practice, during summer, during the football season, these are the practice facility training, you're going to work there. You're going to work there, and you're walking by a shower where a kid got sexually assaulted, and you're not the least bit interested. Well, I wonder what happened with that, man. This happened where my players take their showers, where the coaches take their showers. I wouldn't want to set foot in the place. I wouldn't want to set foot back in the place. I wouldn't want to use the facility any longer. I don't know. Call me. Maybe that makes me weird, but
why not?
Because I just wouldn't be able to go to work at a place where a child had been assaulted. It would cause me a problem. I don't know.
Yeah, but you didn't do it.
I know I didn't do it, bud. It's not about me doing it. It's about the fact that this took place in where I work. I don't know. We're going to talk with our own head coach and a longtime contributor on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and that's Vernon Dozier. And Coach Dozier is at Belmar Academy, and he's going to be discussing with us his perspective, his take on what has happened at Penn State. And again, I don't think I'm being talking out of school when I say, yeah, I'm real sorry what happened to Coach Paterno, but hello, there's kids that need to be talked about here. Are they getting any kind of help? If they are, what kind is it? How old are they now? Who are these young people? And what was done immediately following the reporting of this? What did the University what did Penn State do? You know, the thing with Penn State is many people have been commenting this way today, and I got to tell you, I agree. Penn State has handled this as if the most important thing for them was to shield the good name of their university and their football program, and everything else is of secondary importance. This guy that reported this, this guy's name is McQuarrie. He's an assistant coach.
That's his name?
Yeah, don't do any jokes, okay?
Don't joke about it, man. I just wonder if that's his name.
That's his name. This guy saw a child being sexually assaulted, went and told Coach Paterno, who then went and told the administrators. Well, here's the thing. Apparently, he witnessed this. Did he say anything to this coach? Did he say... Get away from that kid. Now, this guy is not going to be on the sidelines for the game this weekend. This Coach McQuarrie is going to be in the press box.
What's he doing? He's going to coach it up there?
Probably. I mean, that's what they do sometimes, as you know, bud. They coach from the press box. But the fact is, not from the press box, but there are boxes that are adjoining the press box for coaches, and they watch from up there. But the fact that he's been assigned to do his job up there, some people have speculated, is some kind of a security move, some kind of a safety move or a safety provision. So all of that we're going to get into here with Coach Dozier in just a moment. And I'll put him on hold just a second, bud. Don't jump the gun here.
You got to talk about the hoodie.
That's what I want to talk about. We have the brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is in our souvenir shop right now. If you go to philhenryshow.com and hit shop, you're going to see what is on the screen right now on our Phil TV and HD, and that's our new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. On the front, it has the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse logo, and on the back, the famous slogan that has made Ted's world famous, we want to put our meat in your mouth. That's right, Ted's of Beverly Hills, located wherever your great favorite mental fantasy steakhouse is located. That's where Ted's is. So if you want a nice warm hoodie for the winter, for the holiday season, if you want to shop for the Phil Henry fan in your family, which may be you and somebody else, come to our website, philhenryshow.com, and go to our shop and take a look at so much of what we have there is the original Phil Henry Show merchandise, and a great deal of what we have there made famous on the show, including our shot glass, our hoodie, our coffee mug, the legacy CDs, the baseball caps, the T-shirts, all of that at philhenryshow.com. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, if you want to jump in on the conversation this hour. But we're going to first talk to Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. He is the head varsity football coach there and has been for the last 22 years. He's also a member of the board there. He is also a social sciences teacher for the juniors and seniors, as well as the health teacher there. And, Coach, first of all, we appreciate you joining us.
Hey, Phil, always good to be with you.
Now, you're a football coach at an institution of learning. It's not a college, but it is a high school, and we know how important football is even at the high school level. So, you know, you have this... You have this environment, this culture, you know.
Yeah.
When you saw what was happening at Penn State and you heard the news about this assault, and then you heard about all of these news swirling around Coach Paterno, and then eventually heard that he had been dismissed, what was your immediate reaction?
Well, I thought about a couple of situations that I had seen over the years, to be honest with you, Phil. When I was coaching football in Arizona a number of years ago, we did not have it was not about sexual abuse of a child, but it was a drug problem that we had with one of our coaches who had become addicted to, I think, painkillers or something like that. And we had a problem with that because, number one, he needed treatment. Number two, it got into the community before we were able to sort of manage the news, and the perception was that we had we tolerated drug users on our coaching staff, which of course was ridiculous. But when the perception gets out there, you know, that day it's hard to control.
Right.
So when I heard about Coach Paterno, my first thought was, what's the perception going to be on our football program? Because we have a football program here that is getting ready to dedicate a north grandstand. We have a lot of boosters, and we have a lot of people who've been working very hard to raise the money for this. We've got a north grandstand we're going to be dedicating in our stadium next week. And I'm very, very grateful to tell you, Phil, that it's going to be dedicated in part to me because the stadium is named after me, which I had no idea that was even going to happen. That happened a couple of years ago. And now we have this situation at Penn State, and the fact that of all the things that could possibly have been done, or of all the evils that could have been perpetrated, we find out that it was the molestation of a child, which is absolutely the lowest that you could possibly go in terms of how you're dealing with other coaches and how you're dealing with other programs.
What do you mean, other coaches?
Well, we absolutely feel that we know that this is a terrible thing that happened to the child and the parents, but I'm talking specifically right now, the thing that has been sort of taking our time is how is this going to affect the other schools, and particularly our football program? How are we going to be perceived on the eve of having our North Grandstand dedicated?
Oh, I sort of understand what you're saying. I don't think I understand 100%. If something happened at Penn State, how does that affect you?
It affects the perception of football, Phil. It affects the perception of how people see us. Are we football coaches? Are we some other kind of? Are we deviants? So what do people think of us? And then,
but don't you think people are separating out? Why would you lump together all football coaches when this is just we're just talking about one program? And in point of fact, we're just talking about, you know, a handful of people.
Well, that's just it. We don't know where this thing is going to end. We know that we have this McQuarrie. We know we have this Sandusky. We know we've got a couple of other people, administrators. We don't know where it's going to end. And that's what you worry about, because then you begin to wonder, are people not just looking at their football program? Are they saying, well, where else do we have these perpetrators, you know?
And well, are you worried that's how they're seeing your program?
I'm worried that it just simply takes the focus away from, we don't have that kind of program, and I can tell you right now, I would never, ever, ever do what Paterno did, which was basically run and hide. Joe Paterno found out that he had someone attacking kids, and he went to the administrators, then he ran and hid, and I would never do that. And I can tell you right now, had I been the coach of Penn State, there would be a lot of people in a prison cell right now, and they would have been there for a long time. What I'm saying is simply this. On the eve of us dedicating a new grandstand in the North Grandstand at our stadium, we have to deal now with people coming into that stadium and looking at our coaches, looking at our players, looking at our football program and saying, this is where a lot of these perverts, ply their trade. Take a look at it. A football stadium.
That's a pretty, that's an interesting comment that you're making. For people to walk into a high school football stadium, sit down and look down on the coaches and the players and say, wow, Penn State comes to mind. I don't know. I saw today on the news, I was looking at a coach being interviewed. He was a basketball coach from Syracuse. And I watched this man talking about the problem, and I tried to identify in myself some sense that I didn't trust him, like all coaches, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't find that. I found him to be credible, and I felt, well, he's a different guy, and it's a different program. It's even a different sport. So I didn't have a problem with that, you know?
Well, Phil, you're a fair man. Unfortunately, not everybody's like you, and there are a lot of people who, the minute they see Penn State, they're going to start to blame us. Again, if I'd been the coach, it's just too bad I wasn't the coach of Penn State, but nobody asked me. If I'd been the coach of Penn State, I would have taken all of these people and I would have had them all thrown into a prison cell. And then I wouldn't have to be worrying about this dedication where people are going to come into our stadium and take a look at the perverts that are down on the field. And
you really think that people are going to look at you and say, look at all the perverts on the field?
I don't know what they're going to. All I know is this. Institutions of learning in this country that have football programs are now all suspect because Joe Paterno, who's a great football coach, but because Joe Paterno is only a great football coach, and as far as being a human being is concerned, I guess, he comes up a little short there. Because of him coming up short as a human being, now I got to listen to this as we're dedicating our North Grandstand and our football program, which has been an outstanding football program.
All right, hold on for a coach. Can you hang on?
Certainly.
All right. Coach Vernon Dozier is with us, and Joe Paterno and the problems at Penn State have caused a problem for a lot of football programs as far as he's concerned. They're dedicating a new grandstand there at their stadium coming up in a week or so. And how are people going to perceive their football program? That Joe Paterno is a great coach and that he came up short in the human being department means that everybody who coaches a football team is now suspect. It's a very interesting point of view from Vernon Dozier, head coach at Belmar Academy. We're going to keep talking with him here, and our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you have a question for him, you're certainly welcome to call in. 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking with Vernon Dozier here about Joe Paterno and these horrible problems at Penn State on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here as we talk with Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy tonight about the problems at Penn State. This is any way you slice it, Coach, it's a horrible thing to have this kind of thing happen in your locker room.
Without question, Phil. I heard what you were saying at the beginning of your show. I couldn't agree more. To come to work every day knowing that this abomination had happened in the very place that you work and work at a profession I love very much. I love football, and I love the students, and I love our athletes, and I love our institution. And to come to our stadium and to enjoy football as a player, as a spectator, and then to know that this thing happened, I can tell you, if I'd walked in and I'd seen what was happening, I have to be very honest with you. I don't know whether that guy would ever get out of a hospital. And I mean that very sincerely. I don't know if the guy would ever have gotten out of a hospital if I walked in and I saw one of my coaches doing that. First of all, stands to reason he's fired, but that's just the beginning. Is he ever going to walk again? Is he ever going to be able to eat using a fork and spoon, or is he just going to be drinking his dinner for the rest of his life? You know,
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is how I feel about it.
No, I understand. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Why don't we take a phone call here? We have Tracy. Go ahead, Tracy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Coach Dozier.
Hi, Phil. I just wanted to say that guy, the coach that was on the phone and going to have his stadium named after him. Well, I think he was.
That's Coach.
Idiot.
That's Coach Dozier. Coach?
I'm right here, ma'am. If you want something to say something to me, you can say it right to me.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you would think that the public would ever consider football that way. It was a terrible thing that happened at Penn State. It was a terrible thing, the whole Joe Pa thing. But no one looks at football coaches like that. I can't even believe you would think that.
What do you mean, look at football coaches? Did a kid get molested?
Hold on, I got to ask. Hey, Tracy, can you turn your radio down for me, or is it up?
Yeah, turn it down.
Yeah, turn it down.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Coach.
First of all, ma'am, what do you mean, Joe Paterno kept this under wraps? Okay, so now he makes all of us look like we get off on this kind of thing because he kept his mouth shut. He didn't go to police.
Okay. Oh,
and now I'm going to have my North End Stadium. We're going to have our grandstand dedicated in a week, and all anybody's going to be thinking about is what a bunch of perverts football players and coaches are.
No one.
Thank you.
No one would think that.
Well, ma'am, I think it's different.
That's like saying that you have one bad teacher that beats a child, and everyone looks at teachers the same way. That's not so. I don't look at like that. That's just one.
But guess what? It was not just one coach. It was a coach, and then it was a coach covering it up, and then it was a university covering it up, and then it was Paterno covering it up. I mean,
it was one incident. I don't look at my local
no, ma'am,
team
well,
like that.
I think we need to be clear here that there was more than one child that was assaulted by this guy. So we don't really know. We know that one was seen.
Yeah, well, one of the coaches walked in and saw this guy sexually assaulting a child in a toilet or bathroom or
it was in the shower.
In the shower, okay.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? In the very place where the Penn State players shower after a game and get ready for a game, a kid got molested. Now, I'm telling you right now, if I find out that my football program or anybody's football program is put under a harsh light because of this, I don't know what I'd do. I'd find that guy Sandusky myself. And
be careful what you say, Coach.
Well, this lady's telling me she's giving me a song and a dance.
I'm giving you a song and a dance. I'm
yes,
not
ma'am.
Giving you a song and a dance at all. I think what happened to Penn State was terrible, was a terrible thing that happened. But I don't think that that has anything to do with your football team.
Ma'am, I'm saying that all of football is now indicted by one pervert.
That
as
is
good a
not
coach as he
so.
Was.
I don't know that you have the proof of that, Coach.
I think you'll see the proof come Saturday afternoon at Vernon Dozier Stadium when we go to dedicate our North Grandstand. And there's people grabbing their crotch. And let me tell you something, miss.
Oh, I think that's
as a football
ridiculous.
Coach, well, you say that, but...
What evidence do you have of this? What I saw of the players and the students, that they were very supportive of Coach Paterno.
That was a very, very loud and vocal minority there. But now you got people talking about Penn State football and all football as if it is run by a cabal.
I have not heard
of chicken hawks.
No one except you ever say anything about other people in football. That is
I'm just
so...
saying, if it happens, what do you think this will do to the pro game?
Well, you know what? Again, we have the kind of a paranoid thing, and I can understand being paranoid. This is a horrible thing. If it's true, a person certainly deserves to have the criticism. But if it's not true, it's a terrible thing to be considered a pervert when you're not, or a child molester when you're not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want that to happen. So I'm getting out in front of this. And, ma'am, with all due respect, you sound like one of those people that loves to paint people like they're perverts. Is that what you do?
Are you kidding me?
All right, listen, we got to take a break.
I'm telling you that there is no way that I would look at a football coach and think that he's a pervert because of what happened at Penn State. And now you're accusing me of calling you a pervert?
Hold on. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
That's what I'm doing. Henry.
Phil Henry Show.
Well, that's not fair. All right, we're back with Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coach Dozier at Belmar Academy is a very prominent football coach, a high school football coach in the nation. And we're talking with him about what was happening and what continues to happen there at Penn State. I don't think that's fair to say that because Michelle Bachmann was eating a corn dog, you know.
No, I know that. It was juvenile. What I'm saying is, Phil, there's a lot of juvenile people, and they think in very juvenile ways. So you see something, you see a picture, and the first thing that comes to your mind is something that is very childish. When Coach Paterno was obviously mishandling this situation, I believe, personally, because, like I told you, had it been me as the head coach at Penn State, I think people would be very, very happy today because they would never have had to deal at this late date with what happened. I would have taken this Sandusky, and I would have fed him to, one of these, if you've ever been to SeaWorld, if you saw that Shamu, I would have fed him to one of those. I would not have stood for it. The thing that bothers me is with this one caller, this lady said, I would never consider you to be a pervert. Well, I think the reason why she said that is because they've gotten out in front of this thing, and they're trying to defuse it, and so she has no chance to call anybody a pervert, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm getting out in front of it.
And well, what you're saying here is you're afraid people are going to come to your stadium and think of you and your football program as suspect and somehow corrupt, but you're saying that no one's thinking that way. That's why that lady is talking like that? It doesn't make sense.
What I'm saying is because I've cut her off in the past like I have so many other people by saying I'm not a pervert, I don't run that kind of a program, I don't do that, none of my coaches do that, none of my players do that, and I will physically, I will physically do damage to any coach of mine that I catch doing that. I'm getting out in front of this because I don't need, when we dedicate the North End Grandstand, which will be dedicated to my name, I don't need people walking into that stadium and looking around and saying, look at this. This is where this kind of sickness takes place, where kids get molested and coaches get their kicks doing it, and we're sitting here dedicating a grandstand to one of them?
Well, I think you've taken this way. Don't put yourself there, Coach. You're not suspect. Don't even give it a hint of credence. Otherwise, people start thinking of you in those terms.
No, they not if you remain silent. No, they will not, Phil. If you remain silent, then they will. If you speak out, they won't.
Well, I don't know. I think there's an old saying, let sleeping dogs lie, and there's a reason for that. Don't stir up trouble where there isn't any. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Coach Vernon Dozier, who feels that the Joe Paterno sex scandal at Penn State is eventually going to blanket and infect all other football programs across the country. Here is Justin on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Justin. You're on with Coach Dozier.
Yeah, I used to play football in 06, high school football, so you can't just pin one coach. So whoever pins all coaches is stupid. Like me, like personally, just like saying someone's an alcoholic, you can't say, okay, this guy's an alcoholic and everybody else in the world's an alcoholic. Just because there's one bad egg, you can't pin anybody else because one guy screwed up and did something really stupid. So you can't.
Well, I don't think you're quite saying, I don't think you quite understand. If this is not just one alcoholic. This is a coach. This guy Sandusky. This is Paterno. This is McQuarrie. This is Spanier. You know, it's a whole bunch of people.
He should be outside and beat because that was just something stupid he should have never done. They should actually check the background of him. You know what I mean? If they have a criminal record.
Well, yeah, but they didn't do that. And because they didn't do that, now people are looking at organized football at the student level, whether it's college or high school. Now they're looking at it, and now what used to be a wonderful Saturday afternoon, Friday night thing is now something that stinks like someone defecated.
No, it's not like that.
Well,
you know, different stuff. I used to go to high school, so I go, okay, cool. I never thought, okay, that is my coach a pervert or not? It's like, okay, cool. You know, hey, he's a cool coach. You know, now if he didn't say he did cross the line, I'm like, you know, look, quit doing it if he did it, but he didn't. So this coach, that one coach that caught him, should have walked up and like, hey, you know, quit it or. You know, should have punched
him. Well, I can't believe that guy.
That's. I think we're all in agreement on that. Why that coach didn't walk up and pull him off that kid or otherwise.
I'm telling you right now, I would have walked up to him.
They should have fired both of them. Right? I mean, I'm glad they fired the other one. They should have fired the other one as well because that's bullcrap.
You just said the magic words right there. Why didn't Paterno fire that guy right off the bat?
Because it happened in 2002.
So?
The guy retired in 99, so he had access to the locker rooms.
Well, why would Paterno give some kind of an animal like that access to the locker room? Oh, man.
You think when they would retire, well, he'd be like, okay, give me all your keys.
This guy, that's a good point you're making, Justin, but this dude was so respected. He'd been the defensive coordinator there for 20 years and was such an integral part of the program and sort of the football family at Penn State that they allowed him to use the facility. He kept an office, I think, near the, you know, training facility, and he was almost like a...
Yeah, I know what you're saying. He's kind of like in retirement, but he's still... It consults and
well, whatever it was. I mean, yeah, they let this cat have access and they shouldn't have. And, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. Thanks so much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445 as we talk here with Vernon Dozier about this. And we'll take a phone call now from Altadena. RC, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, I wanted to ask on the coach, what would you do? Specifically, if you did see a guy that was touching a kid there.
You're asking me what I would do specifically?
Yes, sir.
Well, I think I indicated that I would...
You said that the guy would not be walking around.
Well, I think you're right. I did. I didn't get specific. I will tell you exactly what I would do. If I saw a man sexually assaulting a child, the first thing I'd say was, son... I want you to go into my office, and I'm going to call the police. Make sure the child's protected. And...
Well, how would you know the kid's protected?
I would tell the child to go into my office, and I would make sure he's protected. I'd get another staff member to watch this child as the police were on their way. Then I'd say to this Sandusky, I said, you and I got business someplace real quiet. I would find, if I could, and I know exactly at our school, we have an area that was a construction site that's since been abandoned, so there's a lot of abandoned buildings over there. I'd take him over to one of those buildings. I'd sit him down in a wooden chair or anything that I can find. I'd put on these rubber sort of pugilist gloves that I've got, very thin rubber, but they help the knuckles from getting scratched up.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd, just because I feel like it, because I like the movie, I'd use that line from Dirty Harry and say, you really want $300 worth, don't you? And I'd hope he'd say every penny, and then I'd make his face look like that guy Zodiac.
I ain't never seen that movie.
That sounds pretty bent.
What sounds bent?
What are you talking about, taking him over to a vacant lot and...
I'd take him to a vacant lot and I'd say, do you want $300 worth?
What does that mean?
It's from a movie that I happen to admire.
Well, it may be a movie that you admire, but what does that line mean?
That guy paid the dude $300 to beat his face in.
Well, this cat is not going to pay you $300. Am I to assume here that...
I understand he is.
Am I to assume that you're going to beat this guy's ass?
Yes, sir. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, but you'd have him in a chair and everything. You'd beat his ass as Wizzy's was sitting in a chair.
What did you just say? Man.
I said, would you beat his ass with him sitting in a chair?
Yes, if he would stay still for me, I'd love that. I'd love it. I would love it if a guy would just sit there and not move and let me beat his face in. That'd be great. But you know and I know that that's not the world we live in. We don't live in a perfect world where a guy's going to sit there and let you just go ahead and just really start to sound his kisser, you know, stand him up, jab, roundhouse, maybe even a couple of kicks. You know, you're not going to let him do that.
Well, that sounds like the answer I wanted to hear, Mr. Henry. Thanks very much. I like your show.
Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. What you just described there, Vernon, was almost sadistic, though.
In what way?
Well, to say that I'm going to sit the guy down in a chair and have him get comfortable and use the line from Dirty Harry.
I think, Phil, if more of us take these people that treat children this way, tie them to a chair someplace in a vacant lot, maybe a deserted part of the city.
Well, that's a vigilante mentality that I think it disturbs me. And
why does it disturb you?
Because it bespeaks a vigilante kind of a torture thing. I think it's better that we have the police handle these things. But I will tell you this. If it was your immediate reaction when I kicked this guy's ass, I can certainly understand that. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and more from Vernon Dozier here on number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk about Joe Paterno, the Penn State football program, and whether it is having a negative effect on other football programs around the country. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we continue talking here with Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy in Altadena, California, about this situation at Penn State. We're getting the viewpoints of coaches. You're a high school coach, Coach. Obviously, the attacking and the molestation, the assault on a child would be quite, it would be much closer to home for you, wouldn't it?
Coach Paterno and the other coaches closer to home. I don't know what you mean by that. If you have children or you've ever coached at the high school level, I don't think you need. If you're a college coach like Paterno, the first thing Paterno should have done is immediately report that man to the authorities and get him off his campus, get him away from everybody. But he didn't do that. See, and Paterno, because as I said, he's a great football coach. But he comes up a little short in the human being department, and look what he's done now to myself and to other coaches who may be in a similar situation to me come on Saturday, as I mentioned, where we have the North Grandstand dedicated to us, or to any of those situations where we've done a good job and we're waiting for our fans to come to us and say thank you for the great job you've done. But I can't do that now, Coach, because now I think you molest children.
That's a big leap there. That's a big, big...
Well, you know, you need to be in my shoes.
No, that's a really big leap. Let's take a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Vern, I think you need to get over yourself. You know, I agree with the lady. I don't think all coaches are going to be painted with the big brush because of one isolated instance. This is... You're an idiot. I mean, you know, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Wait. I didn't call you an idiot, did I? For calling up and saying you don't coach for that.
I mean, that's never crossed my mind. It hasn't crossed a lady's mind. I don't think that's crossed anybody's mind. And by the way, we all know that you're getting the North Grandstand dedicated to yourself Saturday, and you can stop telling us about it. You know, egomaniac.
Well, sir, I'm not trying to be an egomaniac. I'm saying that this has affected adversely my 31 years as a coach at the Division I level.
No, it hasn't.
And people we have won.
All coaches was. I played football.
Well, if people aren't, let me ask you. If
I don't,
if people aren't painting all coaches
as perverts. Nobody's
well, that
called
may be,
you
sir,
pervert.
But let me ask you a question. If that's true, then how come? When we hear about a man, say, babysitting little girls, and he molests one of them, that we don't want to have no men babysitting little girls after that because all men are suspect. Yeah. Now you have a hard time arguing
That's
with me, don't
crazy.
You?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
No, you know it's true. You know it's true.
No, it's
you know
not
that all men... Are you telling me... Are you trying to tell me that all men are above reproach if one man molests a little girl? You're saying that's just that one guy and all the other guys are good.
I think you're, if I can jump in here.
No, I want to know what this guy says, because he called me up. He called me an idiot, which is his prerogative. But I got a North grandstand being dedicated to me on Saturday, which you don't want to hear about.
The analogy the guy had a moment ago about an alcoholic is right. I'm an alcoholic myself, but that doesn't mean you are and everybody else is.
No, but how many alcoholics are there? There's a lot of them, and you don't know when you're going to run into one.
There's a hell of a lot more that aren't than are.
Yeah, but I don't know if I step out into a street one night, and I'm going to my car, here comes an alcoholic around the corner, and guess what? I'm dead because he's an alcoholic. Now, and I didn't suspect
him. So when one coach is a pervert, all of you are perverts, is that
right? No, I didn't say that. I said that's what everybody thinks.
That's not even going to cross anybody.
I haven't thought that way. This gentleman hasn't thought that way. The lady that called up, you know.
That lady, I ain't buying that for a minute. She's pissed. Excuse my language, Phil. I apologize. But she's angry because she can't call me a pervert because I got ahead of the ball on her. I came out here and I said I would kick that guy's ass, and now she can't say nothing.
What are you talking about?
I just told you that if some guy is molesting a kid in front of me, I'd kick his ass up between his shoulders so that in order for him to see where he was going, he'd have to stick his head out of his butt.
We all know you're
okay.
Hard ass. You know, everybody knows that now, and everybody knows you get a grandstand dedicated to you this Saturday.
That's
and
right.
The stadium that's named after you partially. And nobody yet has called you a pervert. But yet you're sitting here saying all coaches are going to be labeled as perverts.
I don't know how this thing's going to unfold. I don't know how this thing's going to unfold.
It isn't unfolding that way. That hadn't crossed anybody's mind until you brought it up.
I'm telling you, come Saturday when we dedicate the grandstand, I wish you were there. I wish you were there. I would invite you there because if one person comes up to me and says, you know, so what's this going to be about now? You think you can freely touch kids because you got a grandstand named after you? If I get...
Oh, come on. Anybody walks up to you... Are you kidding? Anybody walks up to you and says that, man, they deserve to be booted out of the stadium. Thank you very much for your call, sir. I got to move on here. 877-876-PHIL. Bobby, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Yes, I just would like to mirror exactly what the last fellow said. Nobody has brought this up. Vernon, you're the first person that I've heard bring this up. And you brought it up continually over this. And I just tuned in about 10 minutes ago. But you've brought up how every coach is going to be labeled this. And I don't know if you're just on the air to advertise you getting a grandstand named after you.
No, sir.
But
no one
is going to label coaches because, look, how many Catholic, whatever, look at the priest thing. Look how many of those before people started really paying attention and it looked to be like a problem. But still, there's still priests that are still, there's still priests.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do.
Labeled.
No, right, but
you
know.
Perverts either, but it's a lot
yes,
of them been caught doing it.
Yes, they are. After that happened, everybody looked at priests and went, yeah, what are you doing, touching little boys? There were priests that didn't even want to be seen out in public with that switched-around collar they wear, you know, the Roman collar.
One coach gets caught doing it. Now, I am not defending him. I'm like you. If I would have been the grad student or whoever it was, I would have attacked him. I wouldn't take him to a deserted stadium or a building or nothing like that, but I would have gotten the child away from him, and I probably
exactly.
would have been able to keep myself from hitting him a few times while I detained him for the authorities.
Exactly.
I agree with some of that, but you were just going on and on about this. Nobody, you're the first person I've ever heard even mention that coaches might be labeled this way, and that's
you brought up the example of the Catholic priest, and you didn't even know that you was bringing up the perfect example. That's exactly what happened to Catholic priests. Everybody thought that they were a bunch of perverts, and I don't know what you mean. I mean, all I'm saying is before the police arrive, I want to get my licks in. And there's a deserted,
you're a Billy Badass, so everybody.
No, I'm not a badass. No.
And you're fixing to get a stadium named after you, too. That's real impressive, too. You've been a coach for 10 years. That's impressive. My brother's a coach. He's been a coach for years.
for years. And I
well, then ask him. Ask him about it.
They have prayer before games and everything else.
Sure they do.
Even though they might not be supposed to, they do it anyway. But I think you're way off base here, dude. You got some issues.
Well, sir.
Or either you just protest a little too much. And that's
quoting Shakespeare. I got to hand it to you, quoting Shakespeare.
Radio.
I got to hand it to you, quoting Shakespeare. I think that's very good. What the gentleman said. Did he hang up, Bill?
Yeah, he's going to listen to you.
I don't have anything
well,
else to say to you.
I'm just simply saying to you, sir, before you hang up, all I'm saying is that, you know, you said a mouthful there, but when these coaches, you know, go out and touch little kids, every single coach that has something to do with little kids.
Why are you saying
every single coach?
One.
Oh, are you kidding me? Baseball coaches and softball coaches and all these people.
All right, look, I'm going to let you go, sir, so that Vernon can answer here.
Penn State, dude.
You know.
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing as what these little league coaches touching a kid. You heard about that one, right? Same thing. So
it's the same thing?
Yeah. So, oh, I put it
no,
all
No, it's not. We're talking about a cover-up that happened at Penn State.
Now, see, Mr. Henry tried to get you to hang up, and now you're still talking. I didn't get my point out. Which
no, I'm trying to hang up, but you... Oh,
I want to take this guy... No, you can't hang up now, because I want to say one thing.
Well,
this guy, I would take to an abandoned building, and I would tie the wooden chair that I've got.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, you really want $300?
That's right. Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and of course, on our show we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we're going to bring on Dave Oliva with us. Dave is right now a student taking law enforcement criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College, and at one point is going to enroll himself there at the L.A. Police Academy. I want to get a little bit of a law enforcement perspective here. Dave is very much an aspiring police officer. We'll talk with him about what happened there at Penn State. And, of course, you know, it's a very, very emotional topic, so that a lot of things are going to get said. And I do not endorse on this program all the things that are said by our guests nor our callers. While it angers me what happened to those children, I do not endorse any kind of vigilante act, and I hope that goes without saying. Now, what did happen to those kids, and the fact that it happened there at Penn State, dwarfs everything else. It just, in my opinion, it just makes everything else go away. Football games, the NC2A, bowl bids, and yes, even a coach's long-standing and reputable tenure as the head coach, it makes it all go away. And my question is this. Why would Joe Paterno offer to resign at the end of this season were he not at least partially feeling some responsibility? Some people might say, well, he was going to retire anyway. Well, he didn't make that announcement until this stuff broke. And he also said, and I will quote him, I wish I had done more. All right, so that's ahead here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just a reminder, if you go to our souvenir shop at philhenryshow.com, you will see the brand-new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It is black and blue and white. It has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the front. And, of course, the very famous slogan of Ted's of Beverly Hills, known worldwide, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Head over to our Phil Henry Show merchandise store, into our shop, and pick up our new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, as well as our Phil Henry Show shot glass, our coffee mug, our baseball cap, our T-shirt, and our legacy CDs. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. And get a backstage pass while you're there, because with a backstage pass, you can enjoy all of our radio shows, all of them archived, all of the podcasts of our show, which is daily and unedited. At least it's commercial-free, and, of course, our classic Phil podcast and so much more. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we're talking to Dave tonight from Los Angeles or North Hollywood. Dave, is at a this is your job, Dave?
Yes, it is, sir. I do security. I work the door at a place called Frankenstein's Espresso.
What's the name of it?
It's called Frankenstein's Espresso. It's a jazz club here in North Hollywood.
A jazz club, okay. And are you doing security?
Yes, sir.
And Dave, my understanding is you are an aspiring Los Angeles police officer.
Yes, sir. That is something that I've dreamed about since I was a kid, you know, to be LAPD. And from my, you know, way of thinking, the LAPD is the best police department, you know, that there ever has been, in my opinion. And I just would like, I hope someday to be a part of that.
I want to ask you, and you're okay to talk to us, right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you about this situation at Penn State, Dave, with Coach Paterno specifically. He didn't do anything wrong. He failed to report this to the police, but it was not necessarily illegal that he didn't report it to the police. He did report it to the authorities at the university, and somehow it got not reported. And I know that the university president is gone. I think there's a couple of other guys that are gone. The coach is gone. What is the, as a police officer, what would be your view of that? Given the fact that nothing illegal happened, what do you think, what does your gut tell you?
When you say nothing illegal...
Well, I mean in terms of Coach Paterno, not necessarily going directly to the police himself. What is your gut feeling anyway?
Well, my gut feeling as a... I just have to go with my gut feeling as a law enforcement... I mean, I'm not, you know, law enforcement yet, but my gut feeling as a law enforcement officer is... it's what we say in the business. You know, he's dirty.
He's dirty? What do you mean by that?
It means that... this guy, Paterno, is a...
Coach Joe Paterno.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Coach Paterno, something's going on with him. I don't know what it is, but it's just, why didn't he go to the police? I think in order for everybody to get on the same page and to get to the place where everyone's going to tell the truth, I think they have to, like, shut down the football program for at least one full NCAA season so that there's no distractions of football, there's no distractions of nothing. They can sit down and talk to this guy, Paterno, who I'm not a football fan, so, I don't really know.
Well, he's a very, very, he's a very famous coach.
Yes, sir, I understand that. And I understand that he's very respected by people.
Yeah, very, very much so. And he's won a lot of football games, and he's very loved at the... on the campus there at Penn State.
I understand that, sir, but not being a football fan, in a lot of ways, it gives me more of a better, more clear look at it, because if you think about it, if you're a football fan, you're going to be more, you know, influenced by what a big shot he is, or however you want to say it. But for me, being an aspiring police officer, I'm very clear, and I'm not influenced by nothing, so I can look at him and go, you know, and I don't mean no disrespect, but I can look at him and I can go, he's a douche, he's a scumbag, you know, or he's not a scumbag.
But you said to me a moment ago you think he's dirty. Why?
I think he's dirty because if he had a conversation with this guy, I think this gentleman's named McQuarrie, who's the coach, assistant coach.
Yeah.
And McQuarrie said to him, hey, coach, I saw Sandusky in the shower with a little kid. Coach Paterno is going to say to this guy, McQuarrie, what are you talking about? And he'd say, I saw this guy sexually assaulting this kid.
And which he did do, or we don't know what he said.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if he did say that, okay? But on the other hand, if he simply said, I saw him doing something inappropriate with a kid, then Paterno is going to say to him, well, what? What did you see? And he still has to tell him. So either way... This guy Paterno, they call him Joe Pa?
That Joe Pa is a nickname, yeah.
Okay. Either way, this Joe Pa has got some information. Now he's got to go to the school. He goes to the school, and he says, I just talked to one of our assistants. He saw another one of our coaches sexually assaulting a child. Or he says, I just talked to one of our assistants, and he saw one of our coaches inappropriate with a child. Either way, again... Someone is going to say to him, well, what did they see? Well, I don't know. Well, you know, see, so it doesn't add up, you know.
And what you're telling me is it doesn't add up that Coach Paterno didn't know specifically.
It doesn't add up that he didn't know specifically. And if he knew specifically, which I believe he did, and he didn't turn around and go right to the police of whatever They've got the Penn State Police, is my understanding.
They have the campus police, yeah.
Okay, that's the first police you could go to. Those are police officers. They are duly authorized police officers. And you go to Penn State Police and say this, or you go to the sheriff, or you go to county, or you go to the city. He didn't do none of that, so right away, I got to look at this guy, this Patino, or forgive me.
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno, and say, this guy is lousy. And it's just a police term that we use, you know, a guy's dirty or he's lousy, because he's lousy with this whole thing. So I would say the best thing to do now, because it's gotten so far out of hand, is to shut down the football program for 1 year. And
how do you got to go to the NC2A to do that. You have to get the NC2A to act. They're not going to do that.
Well, I think the police can.
Well, what are the police going to do?
I think the police can say that this is a situation where we have an active investigation going on that involves all these coaches. And I'm sorry, but you people are going to have to put your football program aside for at least a couple of 3 weeks or something. I don't know how long it would affect the season. Because right now, just as you said, Mr. Henry, this is not about football no more. This is about a little kid and more little kids getting attacked. And Patino going to the Penn State and either lying to them or everybody doesn't even know what they're talking about, you know.
All right. What you've said here is that it's a near impossibility that they didn't have specific knowledge, that they didn't have the specific thing explained to them, sexual assault taking place. You're saying it's very unlikely that that's possible, that nobody knew that, that Coach Paterno knew, the administration knew, McQueary couldn't have said anything else, because if he'd said anything else...
Yeah, if he'd said something like... Hold on. Yeah, $3. $3. Get your hand. If he said something like... if he said something like, for instance, he was being inappropriate, then Paterno would have to be some kind of like a mongoloid or something, you know? I mean...
Well, let's not use a word like that, okay?
I'm sorry, but you'd have to be pretty mentally disabled not to say, well, what? What do you mean by that? You know?
All right. Dave Oliva is with us. Hold the line, Dave. Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles police officer, takes criminal justice and law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College, and we're talking with him about exactly who would... Where is this guilt going? We know about the coach. We know about the coach that saw it. What about Paterno? What about the administration? Who else might reasonably and legally be indicted or held accountable for this? One of the things that Mr. Olivas said to us is that the football program itself should be suspended for a time while this investigation goes on. And that, of course, is a major step as well. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. As we talk to Dave Oliva about the culpability, the possible guilt of Coach Joe Paterno in this entire horrible scenario. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're very happy to have with us Dave Oliva. Dave is right now working security, which is another job you have, Dave, besides going to school, right?
Yes, sir. I do this on I do it three nights a week over here at Frankenstein's Espresso, and then I'm in school most of the other time.
Okay, and we appreciate you being with us. We're talking about Joe Paterno specifically and whatever his culpability may be in this situation vis-a-vis the sex abuse situation. You're not a football fan, I know that. And so what I'm going to say to you is, you know, you may not know that Coach Paterno is, of course, a very, very respected and loved person. So if you even hint at closing down the football program at Penn State, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to keep that from happening.
Well, yes, sir, but, you know, one of the things that I learned, you know, to be a police officer is, you know, you got to do what, you know, what the police tell you to do. So if you don't do it, I mean, he may be Joe Paterno or whatever his name is.
His name is Joe Paterno.
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if this name is whatever it is, I'm saying he's got to be, you know, he's got to be, he's got to do what the police say to do. So if I was to go, if it was just like me, for instance, and I said to Coach, you have to shut your season down, he'd have to say, what happened?
That's okay. I'm just telling my people something. I got a mic, a live mic someplace.
I would have to say to him, Coach, you know, I'm sorry. I know that people respect you, but no way, you know, can we let this happen?
All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and let's go to a phone call here. We've got Bonnie. Bonnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva. Go ahead, Bonnie. What is your comment?
Well, first, I want to thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been very disturbed by this. I live in Pennsylvania, and for much of Pennsylvania, Joe Paterno, you know, was next to sainthood. And this
yeah.
is a terrible,
yeah.
terrible way for him to end such a long and respected career.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a social worker, and I have worked and have worked with kids who have been sexually abused or suspected of that there was sexual abuse and the kids aren't ready to reveal yet. I've had 5 jobs in the last 15 years, and every one of those agencies, plus the schools that I go in, have their own policy and procedure for reporting sex abuse. In Pennsylvania, anybody that works with children is mandated to report, but these schools and agencies have their own procedure, and there's a mm-hmm. person that eventually, you know, would get reported to. So I'm saying that I don't know what Penn State's procedure was at the time, and mm-hmm. did Mr. Paterno what? Follow that or not. The other thing is that once he realized...
Well, could I make a comment, Mr. Henry, about
happened.
Being a... Like, it, from a police perspective?
Well, but I want the lady to finish what she's saying.
I know, but I just wanted to say to her, like, I come from a police perspective, ma'am. My thing is go in there and bust heads if you have to, you know? So, like,
well,
if I was Joe...
You know, apparently the police weren't aware of it. So, at some
uh-huh.
place in the university, somebody dropped the ball because they didn't want to probably shame the football program. Maybe they were a friend of the coach. You know, we don't know
yeah,
that.
See,
but
that's right there. See, that's...
Anyone who
trying to protect
aware,
Joe Pantino, you can't do that. You know, you have to report it.
No, we understand that. But what Bonnie's saying is, what's the procedure? I believe, Bonnie, the procedure at Penn State was Coach Paterno actually followed it. He went to the administrative level and
mm-hmm.
said what his coach had told him.
I think that's bull.
Well, why do you say that's bull?
Somebody dropped the ball and did not follow procedure.
Well, that's exactly right, yeah, yeah.
A well-respected president of the university, I believe that he is also a social worker and has many published articles that when I went to
mm-hmm.
school, you know, I researched his articles. But at
wow.
some point, everybody
wow.
that knew about it had a moral obligation to follow
yeah.
through.
See, that's what I'm saying, Bonnie. Joe, I'm sorry, I get his name wrong. Pantino?
Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno.
I'm sorry. Joe Paterno, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's why in police language, I'd say he's dirty. There's
yeah.
something not going on with him. I don't know what it is. I don't think he touched the kid, but...
No. Look, Bonnie, thank you very much, and thank you for clearing that up. And I did not know that the president of the university had those articles published. I think that is also... of note. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over to another phone call here. We have Wes. Go ahead, Wes. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
Hey, how you doing? Once again, I want to say thank
Good.
You for allowing me to call.
Yes, sir.
I want to agree with Bonnie and what she said, in which Phil Paterno did follow the proper procedures. He followed the cardinal rule, in which is never be the highest man on the totem pole with a deep, dark secret. So when he found out what happened, he followed the rules and he told the administrators who was supposed to follow up. Everybody's blaming this guy, stating that he was supposed to follow up and continue to follow up. He did what he was supposed to do. As far as shutting a football program down, what does shutting a football program down have to do with investigators?
Well, because if the police... if the police need to investigate and have, like, witnesses and everything that they have to investigate, you need to shut the football program down and get everybody organized and go, okay, look, you know, we got some stuff we have to talk about here, and you can't be off running around, you know, playing your football games. That's all I'm saying, you know. So they'd have to have everybody on the same page, you know.
So you'd have to shut the season?
Who, Who would they be questioning? The coaches. So why do you need to shut a football program down when you could call people in?
Well, coaches, the players, you don't know who knows what, you know? I mean, how deep does this go? How deep does it go, you know? Is it like a molestation ring? Is there, you know?
What, a molestation ring? This is one coach.
What are you coming? This is one guy that they're talking about, and you're making it seem as if it's the whole school, the whole team.
Well, yes, sir, but, with all due respect, sir, you probably maybe heard of something called Watergate, okay? They thought that was just some guy that busted into somebody's office. Guess what? Went all the way to the President of the United States of America. So, you know, I mean, I'm just speaking to you now as a police investigator, you know.
Yeah, you're not, first of all, I mean, I've listened to you through this whole show with all due respect.
Yeah.
You're practicing to be one. But something else, this guy didn't touch anybody's kid. But one, because you're accusing Coach Bruno for molesting somebody's child. That's not the case. All right, it's been put out there. Or I understand what you're saying. He might know something else. But with that being said, it hasn't been proven that he knows anything else. He did what he was supposed to do. Penn State.
I'm not saying that he did nothing. But if he knows of a molestation ring that the coaches are running or some kind of kid thing,
there is no
the
ring.
The coaches.
He reported what he knew. He reported. He went to his administrator.
Well,
he reported what the other coach told him.
Right, yes, sir. But I mean, my feeling is, what if there's some kind of a kid ring where they're trading kids off? I don't know.
What do you get?
Okay. It's whack. Hold on.
No, it's not whack. I mean, it happens all the time.
Okay, listen. Thank you very much, Wes. We have to take a break, though. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. What did Joe Paterno actually know? And is there something that needs to be uncovered here? Dave Oliva, an aspiring Los Angeles police officer, he is right now currently in school taking criminal justice and so forth. He seems to think that this needs far more investigation than it's getting, even if it means shutting the football program down for a season while the investigation takes place. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL. Is it possible there's some kind of a child ring going on? We'll talk about it.
Responsibility.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We're also talking here with David Oliva, who is with us from Jazz Club in North Hollywood, where he works security. And we're talking about the Joe Paterno Penn State situation. And it's no longer just a child abuse case, which is really what I call it. I hate even using the term sex, because it's just flat-out assault on a child. But now we've got the Joe Paterno thing thrown into it here, Dave.
Well, first of all, I agree with you, Mr. Henry. It is assault of a child. It is not about sex any more than rape is about sex. You don't say, you say a woman's been raped because she's been raped. You know, she didn't have, there wasn't like illicit sex. It was rape. And that's what this is. Number two, I'm not saying Joe Paterno I'm not saying Joe Paterno is a. I didn't say he did anything. I'm saying that he is guilty of, like, not, you know, putting two and two together. I mean, I wouldn't have been that dumb. And I'm sorry, but.
Well, what do you mean dumb?
I mean, he was dumb. If you come to him and say, hey, coach, I saw a kid getting molested, and Paterno's all, well, let me go. I mean, I know he's a football coach, and I don't want to engage in any, stereotyping or profiling, or however you want to say it, but, I mean, you know, football players and coaches are not known as the brightest people, but I had no idea this guy, Paterno, or whatever his name, Paterno, you know.
Paterno.
Paterno. I had no idea that he could be that dumb. And I'm saying that, Mr. Andy, I know that's going to make some people angry, but look. If you're dumb and all that winds up happening is you're so stupid that you didn't pay the water bill, okay. But if you're so stupid that a kid is getting attacked in the shower and you're in you're walking around, you know, waving a pennant for Penn State football, or, you know, eating crumb cake and looking at game film, because a lot of these coaches do that, especially older coaches. They are completely unconscious to the reality that is happening around them. Right down the hall from Paterno's office is a little kid getting attacked in a shower, and Paterno was sitting eating crumb cake or eating a bear claw and looking at game film and sort of like lost in a misty wonderland, you know? I've seen it happen. It's no good. No good at all.
All right, well, I mean, that's a pretty harsh statement, not a harsh judgment on Coach Paterno, saying that he was either really stupid or just, what you're saying now is the guy's senile.
No, I didn't say senile.
Well, when you say that a guy is sitting there eating crumb cake and watching game film lost in the misty past, that's pretty much kind of what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Let's go to Troy on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, how you doing?
Or Trey. It's Trey, excuse me. Go ahead, sir.
Trey. Well, I kind of agree with the other guy about maybe closing the program down for a little while to finish the investigation, but not for the whole season, just to get everybody's story straight. That way they can't, you know, all get together and change their stories here and there and make a big lie out of it.
Right. And for coaching, but you would say they would need to shut the program down, right?
Not only just maybe a few weeks to get all the stories straight before they have a time to score for us and make it all the same or make a big lie out of it.
Right.
But,
right.
Now, who did the guy go to? What is his name again? Paterno. Who did he go to, and did they tell the police? Or did they?
Paterno didn't go to the police. He didn't go to the police. He went to, like, the next guy up the ladder, some, I don't know, like the athletic director or something.
No, he went, I think Paterno went to the administrator. I think he went to the president.
President of what?
Of the school. He went to the president of the school.
Well, that's
president or the dean.
That seems,
did he or the president try to cover it up? Or did he?
That seems chicken to me. I think if Paterno or Paterno knew what, like, first of all, if you say to a guy, hey, a kid's being attacked, first of all, I would say, I'm going to the president, I'm going to tell him, and then I'm going to wait to see what the police say. But Paterno didn't do that, you know? He just...
By the way, Rick Paterno is maybe who you're thinking of. This is not Rick Paterno. This is Joe Paterno.
Okay.
Joe Paterno coaches football. Rick Paterno coaches basketball.
I mean, I know it's football.
Okay, his name is Paterno.
But I'm just saying, what did Paterno know and when did he know it? Was he in his office when the kid was being attacked? Sitting there eating crumb cake and looking at last week's game film, you know? That's rough, man. Think about it. Think about it. Guy's sitting there having a bear claw while this stuff's going on?
Where are you getting the information that he had a bear claw or crumb cake?
I'm saying that someone that age is...
All right, I don't know that that's the case. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kenneth. Go ahead, Kenneth. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, the only thing I could see is that, I mean, the aspiring cop, no offense, but isn't that why they turn their lights on to hit Dunkin' Donuts? I mean, no offense, but, I mean, you...
Yeah, no offense.
Without probable
no offense.
Cause. There's
what?
No probable... That you're making an assumption of what somebody's doing without all the facts. I mean, don't you gather information,
well,
or you just make assumptions and just arrest people? You have to have a problem.
Well, what you do is you eliminate possibilities by gathering the evidence. You do eliminate things until you get to the truth. And if I eliminate, for instance,
and
I know that Paterno didn't go.
Cops, and just like dirty cops.
If you want to talk about what we're talking about, we can do that, sir. But I'm not going to talk about cops. I'm talking about Joe Paterno. This is the guy that got caught, okay?
Oh.
I didn't, you know, you want to talk about something else. But this guy, if you eliminate the fact that this guy waited, he didn't do nothing to this coach, he waits and he goes to the higher up, okay, what's that tell you?
Well,
what does that tell you?
How do you know how long he waited?
It doesn't make any difference. He did wait. Instead of going and going to the police.
How do you know? Without any facts.
He did. He waited. He waited. He waited a long time.
Well, how long did he wait?
Well, this guy McQueary comes to him and says, kid was being attacked. Okay, between the time he found out about that And the time he goes to this guy at the administration, it could have been months, okay?
But how do you know?
Months.
Or are you just making an
assumption? Well, how do you know? I'll tell you how I know, okay? Because Paterno is so old. First of all, he's an old guy. If he would have said to them, this kid got sexually assaulted.
You're making an assumption once again.
Oh, come on, man. Are you kidding me, man? The guy was 75 years old. He's sitting in his office eating crumb cake.
Well, he's not,
you know, all right, look at you.
How do you know if he's, you know, to make that, to keep making an accusation that the guy's eating crumb cake, what, do you hang out with him in his office? First off,
I'm saying, you ask me how I know. This is what I know from elderly suspects.
Hold on one second. I heard a lot of what you were saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against what anyone is saying. If this guy is guilty and he watched kids or heard about kids being assaulted and doing nothing, I think he should be thrown in every major jail cell that's not good and be sent and pay punishment. I'm a Joe Paterno fan. Don't get me wrong. But if without having the facts, how do you make these assessments? If the guy's guilty, that's one thing. But you're making it.
First of all, the guy didn't go to the police. There's no record of Joe Paterno going to the police and saying, hey, man, guess what? A kid got assaulted in the locker room of where my football player, okay?
Look, he didn't go to the cops, but he went to the administration. He went to the administration, which is where he was supposed to go.
Well, don't get me wrong. You know, that's, yeah, don't get me wrong. Hey, sir, don't get me wrong.
Hey.
I'm not getting anybody wrong.
Well, that's what you keep saying. You keep going, don't get me wrong, don't get me wrong.
All right, let's grow up a little bit here, okay?
Well, that's all he's saying, you know. Hey, don't get me wrong, man, but, you know, don't get me wrong.
If the guy is guilty, that's one thing. But
right.
You don't have the facts. And you're making assumptions on no facts, no evidence, just hearsay. That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you that a guy that's 84 years old is sitting in his office, sucking on an eclair or whatever, and watching game film while some kid, God, man, I would hate
to think of what. Once again, you're making assumptions.
What is people that are fans of this guy? This guy is sitting in his office. Eating plum cake, or you know, okay, you don't want me to say plum cake, I don't want, you know, and he's sitting there eating a crumb donut,
and meanwhile,
some kid, yeah, see, you have to indict cops, you don't want to talk about Joe Paterno and what he,
his name is Joe Paterno,
you don't even want to talk about the guy, you don't even want to talk about what he done,
no, he didn't do anything,
no, you don't, because you're saying that, look, quit talking about it, and let's get back to cops eating donuts, I'm saying he's sitting in his office eating. Yes, I do.
Oh,
yes,
do?
I do. Yes, I do. Here's what he did. Here's what he did, man. Here's what he did. He didn't do nothing while this guy is molesting kids and he's in his office eating a crumb donut.
You didn't know that he's eating a crumb donut in his office. All right, Kenneth, thank you for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's see who we have on the line here. Hello, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, that guy's crazy. I mean, he's crazy. For one, he's saying they need to shut down a whole football season. Why would
they?
I
think it's necessary. Yeah.
Because they have to go into the season coming to an end in a few more games. They've got all that time to investigate what they need to investigate. While you're
right.
Sitting there eating Dunkin' Donuts, making assumptions that that Joe Pa is doing whatever, you know, he went to the administration like he was supposed to do. They were supposed to follow it up and go to the police, but they didn't.
I'm telling you,
so therefore,
it's not necessarily true. They did do that.
Now the cops are going to go tell. Penn State, they gotta stop playing football for a whole season so they can do an investigation. I don't see that working. I don't see you making much sense.
Well, first of all, you talk about cops eating Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, whatever, you know. But here's the thing.
Well, you talk about him eating crumb donuts. So what's the difference?
We do know that a kid got a kid got attacked in his shower. That's where he showers. That's where Joe Pa goes and showers. And, you know, excuse me for saying it, he goes and takes a dump there. I don't know what he does, you know.
What do you mean he showers there?
That's his locker room. That's his locker room. If a kid was molested at your house, sir, I would be, you know, within my rights to say, hey,
that wouldn't happen at my house. What's up with that?
I mean. But it happened at Joe Paterno's house. What do you say to that?
It didn't happen at his house. It happened at the football.
Oh, yeah, it did.
He wasn't there when it happened. He may have come across something, seen something, and he did what he should have done and went to administration.
But have you ever heard the phrase where the guy says, hey, not in our house? Okay, it's his house.
Not his house. That's what they call it in football.
Well, this guy doesn't make much sense.
You guys are doing all, like the last caller said,
you make all these assumptions and you're not making much sense. Hey,
I'm making all kinds of sense. The guy he's an old man. It stands to reason that he's sitting there with a piece of, like, peach cobbler.
Okay, just like
he's sitting there.
Just like a cop I just passed at Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, that's just a bunch of bull. I mean,
what do you mean Dunkin' Donuts, man? They don't have Dunkin' Donuts where you live. They got Dunkin' Donuts on the West Coast. I know that. And they got.
What do you mean they don't have Dunkin' Donuts?
They got Dunkin' Donuts on the Highway 58, right past where
Wait a second, man. Don't they have Krispy Kreme out where you live? But they don't have no Dunkin' Donuts.
They got Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. They got. All right, listen. Thank you very much, sir.
I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are going to continue with Dave Oliva. Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere, and I believe Krispy Kreme has now moved out to the West Coast. So one thing we got in the United States, and we've got them all over the place, donuts! We'll continue here with Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College. He's also at his second job working security at a jazz club in North Hollywood tonight, as we talk about how much Joe Paterno knew and when he knew it and whether he is culpable. But this idea that he was so senile, he's sitting eating crumb cake and looking at old game film while this assault was taking place, is outrageous. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the line with us from North Hollywood tonight is Dave Oliva. Mr. Oliva is a law enforcement criminal justice student at L.A. Canyon College. He's also aspiring to be a member of the LAPD. He's working security tonight at a local jazz club in North Hollywood. We're talking about the horrible situation there at Penn State. Specifically, what it is that Coach Paterno may have known or what he may not have known. And Dave has been sort of sparring with the listeners here, I think, on the level of, Dave, I think you are, I guess, are trained, you know, to see, you know, to ask questions, how far, how deep, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, like that one guy who called in, he said, you know, you don't have no evidence. Well, hey, what evidence did they have that Richard Nixon was going to be, you know, was trying to be, you know, to do the Watergate break-in? They had to investigate. So, you know, I would say that they would take this guy, Sandusky, and what do you think you're going to, I mean, what will they find out? Is there some, nobody wants me to say it, but if they got a kid ring going. And
a kid ring? What do you mean by a kid ring?
Well, I mean, if they're trading off kids or, you don't know. I mean, if there's like a kid slave. I've seen things, Mr. Henry, that you don't even want to know about, where they have like a kid slave, where they have kid slaves, that kind of thing, too.
You really, and again, we have this question, evidence, as you have been talking, where is the evidence? And there isn't any.
Well, there's no, not right now, but if they keep digging and you don't gets scared of this guy Paterno because he's such a big wheel. Everybody's scared of him because he's such a big wheel, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over here to Terry. Go ahead, Terry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
Well, I'd like to say that the person that you're talking to that is a security guard, he's not a police officer. He's going to school to try to be one. I don't think anything that he says makes any sense at all. And I hate to think that the officers that are on the road protecting us has the mentality that he does. And that's all I've got to say.
Well, I mean, that's, you don't really know. You know, ma'am, you can say a lot of stuff that's, I mean, what do you know about it?
I've been sitting here listening to you, and you have made a complete idiot out of yourself. You don't
know
what Paterno's name is. You've called him everything but the right thing. And the man is a football coach, and this happened to young boys that belong to a organization that the other coach has started. And Joe Paterno probably didn't even know anything about it until he did find out. And
I'd be happy to. I would want to believe that. I'd be happy to believe that. I'd be happy to believe that. I understand that.
You have made all kinds of assumptions, and you've made a complete idiot out of yourself. You need to hang up and go back to school because it's going to take you a long time to become an officer.
Well, ma'am, you know, I, with all due respect, you're not a police officer, so you don't know how long it's going to take. Okay, you know what I'm doing? I'm making myself something to drink. Do you know what that machine is that it's making that noise right there? Hello? See, she hung up because she didn't know.
It's an espresso machine.
That's right. I'm making espresso. Now, that lady hung up because she didn't want to look like an idiot. You know?
What she's saying is you're making assumptions here, and...
No, I ain't making no assumptions. If Paterno is 84 years old, it stands to reason he's losing it, you know? Like, he's getting a little, you know... He ain't wrapped too tight, is all I'm saying, you know.
All right, hello, you're on the air. Walt, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, the first thing I'd like to say is you definitely need to stay in school to be law enforcement. I drive a truck now. Number one, no idea what you're talking about. Paterno did, and that just tells me you don't need a police officer. It took you 9 tries to get his name right. But he did go through the campus. Police. That is one of the guys that got fired. So if you want to put the blame on somebody, put it on the police. I'm saying it loud.
Well, but what about the fact that
he's in English?
What about crumping?
Number two.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Phil Hendry.
Shores of El Pacifico.
God Almighty, how it is I chose this business. Anyway, world famous Phil Hendry Show, getting less famous as the days go by, I'll tell you that. What an absolute, very, very, a lot of fun to do the show, but I'm going to tell you, the behind the scenes on this show, I've never had to deal with anything like it before in my life. Well, that's okay, man. That's what lawyers are made for. You know, all you people out there that run radio companies, whether they're big companies or small companies, not going to beat me. I'm a radio artist. This is what I do for a living. I create on the air. You bastards can't do anything other than to sit and complain about the fact that you can't get any business done. I'm going to keep on kicking ass and doing what I do, okay? And as much as you guys don't like it, the kind of weird-ass show that I do, because it basically is a send-up of all that crap that you clowns choose to push, you guys are not going to get away with trying to make my life even more difficult than it already is. Having to look at you guys every day when I walk in the studio is one thing. But if you cats think that you're going to, because Phil Hendry's a loose cannon or whatever, a Beau Brummel, you're going to just, you've just decided that you're going to F with me on some level, ain't going to happen. I know a lot of you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you sound crazy.
Yeah, I think you need to explain something. I'm not going to explain anything.
Yeah, but people think you're talking to yourself.
Well, believe me when I tell you, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking to myself. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, we have our hoodie, and the hoodie is in stock, and the hoodie is goody. There it is on our Phil TV in HD. If you have a backstage pass, you can see the Teds of Beverly Hills new hoodie. We want to put our meat-in-your-mouth steakhouse sweatshirt. And this is going to be a beautiful thing for the coming fall and winter months. I guess we're in the fall month, so...
Yeah, coming winter month now.
The winter month or the months?
Month.
There's more than one winter month.
Oh.
Yeah, well, here's a calendar. See, here you have... All right, do it some other place, will you, Robert? Showing him the calendar.
I want to show him how many months there are.
Yeah, I get it, man. There's 3 or 4 months, and don't... Never mind. So, the Tens of Beverly Hills hoodie is available in our shop. So, if you go to the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop, you not only see our hoodie, but you're going to see a lot of other things that are there for you, and including our coffee mugs and our shot glasses and our T-shirts and ball caps and, of course, our legacy CDs. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So, we're letting you know about the hoodie because it's now in stock, and it was not, you know...
Well, a lot of people want to know where it was because you're saying that we had it.
Well, I put the picture up, and I said, well, there's the hoodie. Okay, and so now, you know, there it is, and get it for the winter because I'm telling you, it's a nice, cozy, warm, beautiful thing for you. All right, lots of things to talk about. How about this Paterno thing? This is just, you know, I think that it is, I think what's getting lost here, if I could just say this, and I know we spent a couple of hours talking about this, but... the thing that's getting lost here is that Joe Paterno, or no Joe Paterno, there were some kids that got hurt, and that should be the number one deal. And whether or not Joe Paterno has a football career, I mean, is that supposed to be the overriding thing here? Well, he didn't do anything wrong. Well, all right, he didn't do, by the letter of the law, you're right, he didn't do anything wrong. But I have heard the word moral responsibility, the words moral responsibility brought up more than once. And I think that in fact, does exist there. Rick Perry, meanwhile, is doing damage control, vows to press on. What damage control does Rick Perry have to do?
I guess he sounded like a jackass.
Yeah, you didn't know what to say on a question.
I know what happened. I know what happened. And let me say this. I know what happened with the Rick Perry messed up and he didn't answer the question. And okay, great, fine, super... Score another one for the people that don't like Rick Perry. I'm not a Rick Perry fan necessarily. I don't know who the hell I'm going to vote for. I thought maybe I liked one guy, maybe I like another guy. Who knows? I may vote for a Democrat before all is said and done. I've been known to do that, and I'll probably do it again. Because Republicans don't knock me out. You know what I'm saying? They ain't all that. They may think they are. They may think they got it all figured out. Well, guess what, Charlie? No, you don't. And neither do you freaking Democrats either. So I'll just bide my time and vote for who I want to vote for. But here's my point about Perry. A very interesting thing happened to me, and it was simply the following thing. I didn't watch that debate, and so therefore I did not see the money moment when Rick Perry forgot the third agency that he'd closed down when he became president. Okay, I didn't see that. All I heard was the reaction to that. Now, the next day, the news was all about this. Perry, how will he recover from his faux pas? Is Perry done? In other words, the news cycle had happened. It was now so turning so rapidly that it no longer was a guy like Phil Hendry or anybody like me who got up in the morning like a lot of people do, looked at the news like a lot of people do, and want to find out what happened. And what did I find out? I didn't find out anything. I found out that Rick Perry, will he recover? From what? You know? From what?
Yeah, well, they're talking about when he didn't know the name.
I know what they're talking about. Bud, I know what they're talking about. Will you listen to me, man?
Yeah, you already know that.
I'm saying that I know what they're talking about, but they no longer, the news cycle, of course, is so shortened in some instances that they no longer have time to tell you what happened. So as an average person on that day, and I was very average because I had not watched the debate, and usually because I do a talk show, I try to, you know, as we all of us in this business, I try to stay on top of everything that is of importance as much as I can. I can't do it all because the fact of the matter is we go on the air at 10 o'clock and there's some things that, you know, the news is always happening. So in that particular instance, I just didn't watch the debate. I might have been taking my afternoon nap. I might have been...
yeah, probably you're looking at some dirty pictures.
Shut up, will you?
Hey, man.
I might have been doing a lot of things. So I find out that Perry is done. He's finished. He's over. And I don't even know what the hell happened. You see what's happening here? So the average person that consumes the news, and I'm talking maybe about a lot of you guys that are listening to me, or maybe a lot of you guys that are listening to me because you're up at this hour, you're a third shifter, you're somebody who is working late, you're a non-traditional radio listener, a non-traditional consumer of the news, you may be like me or others, where you're paying attention to different aspects or different parts of the news cycle, and you might have picked up on things. But the average guy tomorrow who hadn't seen the debate, and when I say tomorrow, I mean the day after the debate, is looking this and say, what the hell happened? All I know, there was a debate, and all of a sudden, Rick Perry's dead. So he did not have the opportunity to find out what exactly had happened. Already the spin has happened. This is not news. It's writing, but it's not news. Now, I saw a great quote yesterday online. I was looking for something, and I saw this fantastic statement made by a guy by the name of Dick Cullum. Dick Cullum was an editor at the Minneapolis Star Tribune for many years. He said, writers are a dime a dozen. It's impossible, he said, to find good reporters. Writers are a dime a dozen, but it's almost impossible to find, I think he said, good reporters or just reporters. I think he actually said just reporters.
Now, I found that quote for you.
What did he say, Robert?
He just said reporters.
Yeah. And boy, ain't that the truth, man. Writers are a dime a dozen, but it's impossible to find reporters. And he's saying, you know, thank you very much, Ernest Hemingway, and aren't you just with the great floral language, and we're just so happy that you want to be the next whatever, Irma Bombeck or whoever, but in the meantime, we want to find out what the hell happened here, okay? And we got nobody telling us that. As soon as the thing happens, we got a million jackasses trying to tell us what it means. Why don't you tell me what it is first?
Well, you don't know?
The newspaper business, I recognize, is probably at a point where they think, well, we're worthless when it comes to breaking news, so we might as well be about spin. And maybe that's it. In other words, newspapers get their ass kicked when it comes to just breaking news because the internet and the broadcast channels and so forth and radio, they all have it way ahead of newspapers. And maybe newspapers say, we can't compete with these guys in the area of breaking news. We have to compete with them in the area of editorializing, so that's what we'll do. But I'm telling you right now, I was watching news channels, and I was all over the internet, and everywhere I looked, in fact, this is where I got most of my news, was online, and all I got was, Perry's dead. Now guess what? Now guess what? Today, 48 hours after it happened, oh, well, it's not that bad. He'll recover. And when I finally did see what happened, I saw this moment from the debate and this exchange between him and Ron Paul, and then he was going back and forth with the moderator a little bit, and then he went to his right. I don't know who the hell he was talking. It might have been Michelle Bachman, and they were all trying to give him a load of crap. And he finally said, you know what? I forgot. And you know what? When a guy is burning the candle at both ends, he's campaigning for president, he may be not getting all the sleep in the world, and guess what? The cat's just, I'm not going to hold that against him. Like I said, I'm not necessarily a Rick Perry supporter. I'm not even necessarily a Republican, but I'm not holding chicken crap against the guy. Do you understand? You guys know what I mean. And I know that a lot of you people that are supporters of Rick Perry know what I mean, but I would challenge anybody that is not, that is maybe even a liberal Republican or liberal Democrat listening right now, or a progressive, I challenge you to not to sweat the small crap. If you think that that's a major problem, that a guy forgot the name of the third department, he'd get rid of it. Well, if it's a really big important, but don't be so snippy and snipey, and don't be, Give a guy a break, you know? He may be dumb. He may be a lot of stuff. He may be a lot of things that you don't like. You got to judge him. Judge him on the things that he believes and not necessarily what he's able to remember in the middle of a debate where there's some jackball looking at you. You know, all those cats are looking to do is trip him up anyway.
Yeah, those guys are moderate. All they want to stick it to a guy.
Yeah, I think they do, too.
They do. Those guys in those debates, those guys that moderate those debates, there's only one thing they want to do. They want to shank a guy right in the back. They're not interested in you finding out about the candidates, folks. They're interested in knocking a guy down a peg. And the same thing, the other candidates are interested in that. They're not interested in putting their platform forward. They're interested in seeing who they can knock out of the race to strategize. You remember what happened in 08? What happened to Romney in 08 was this. McCain and Huckabee got together and put the pincer move on Romney, and they bounced him out. Fantastic. Great. You think the Republican Party was better for it? What happened was Huckabee, after a while, took a look and realized his ass was grass, and that left McCain, and he got his ass handed to him. Now, I ain't saying that John McCain's a bad guy. You think maybe the Republicans would have had a better shot had they had Romney in there? If they'd given that guy 6 months, 8 months of a chance, and he might have been able to build up a base? I don't know, but I'm just saying, these games these people play. So at the end of the day, Rick Perry is not, it's not over, he's still alive, you know.
Yeah, but did he still, he's all like, durr.
He didn't go, durr.
He would, yeah, well, he's all like, well, what's the third one? He couldn't remember.
So what, man?
But what if he forgets where, if there's a nuclear attack?
Okay, if there's a nuclear attack, what, he's, oh my God, what's the name of that third?
No, but I mean, if there's, what, you forget where the key is or something?
What key?
The key to that briefcase that has the codes and everything.
Are you nuts or something? What briefcase with the codes?
There's a guy that walks around with it.
Dude, he don't need to remember where the key is. And even if he does need to remember where the key is, he can just put it under the mat, you know?
That's right.
But the back mat, the one that, you know, the cat sleeps on. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil is usually our number. Of course, this is our news and information hour. We don't really take calls this hour. Coming up, Billy Crystal's Oscar gig. That's right. They've gone to the bullpen, and they got their ace, Billy Crystal, because Eddie Murphy said, stick it. And whoever the other cat was that they were going to get, I forget who. Was it Ricky Gervais? I don't know. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Billy Crystal's Oscars gig, the Twitterverse reacts, that and more. Coming up here on our News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, a reminder to get your backstage pass and subscribe to our website because you can watch live streaming video of the show every night, as well as get our podcast, as well as get thousands of hours of archive material. We are very close to completing the year 2001. And that means that from 1999 all the way through the present, the Phil Henry Show is available as a download, every full show. So check it out. Billy Crystal's Oscars gig, the Twitterverse reacts. Billy Crystal slyly broke the news that he'll be hosting the Oscars for the ninth time via his Twitter account today. So it's only natural that the Twitter community should react in the way they know best, with smart-ass remarks limited to 140 characters or less. Those are not my words. Those are the words of, who, bud?
Some douchebag.
Some douchebag, otherwise known as the U.S. News and World Report. With news that Crystal had replaced Eddie Murphy, the tweet-happy masses poured forth with their thoughts. Also read, he's back, Billy Crystal will host the Oscars 2012. Well, I know that Twitter is a place where a great many comics try out material, a great many amateurs are hoping to be discovered, and a lot of other things happen on Twitter. Ashton Kutcher has quit Twitter because he's very disappointed that it's become this publishing platform ideas, material, and so forth. His point being that people are not there really to converse or to talk with each other. They're there just to one-up each other with funny lines. It may be true. I don't know. I find that to be true. I don't think that Twitter is a place where people go necessarily to converse with each other, but that's what it is, you know. And the fact that Ashton Kutcher has left Twitter may or may not be of importance. There's a thing that they call Twitter side, where people openly say, I'm done with Twitter. In the case of Ashton Kutcher, I think he said that he's going to have his underlings tweet for him or something. I think he's got
he's got like a social media director.
Social media director, okay. But dude, be that as it may, I don't know that. Yeah, he's got like 11 million followers, so I don't know that people are really going to be following your ass or off of Twitter is what I mean. People will follow you, but are they going to follow you all the way off of Twitter? I don't know. I don't think anybody cares, man. John Mayer, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, that one guy, John Mayer, he quit. He committed Twitter side.
Did anybody give a crap? No.
Well, I mean, like, yes, yeah, some people might have.
John Mayer committed Twitter side, and nobody gave a crap. Nobody. Now, Kutcher, different. I mean, he's got a lot of people. Who knows? Now, the reason why I bring all of that stuff up is there's absolutely no reason to not like the fact that Billy Crystal is going to be hosting the Academy Awards. I don't care what anybody says. The guy always hits a home run. Always. He's the go-to guy. And I don't know whether he didn't want to do it again or...
Yeah, I don't think he wanted to do it anymore because Jack Nicholson was pointing and laughing at him. Well, that's what I heard.
What do you mean Jack Nicholson was pointing and laughing at him?
He thought he was funny, man.
I think Jack Nicholson was making fun of him.
Are you nuts or something? I never heard anything like that. I think he left the Oscars because he got tired of doing it. But he's coming back. He's basically bailing the whole thing out. And a lot of lame-ass comments here that I'm not even going to quote about the cat coming on board to do the Oscars. A bunch of jackballs on Twitter who are not digging it. So, fact is, he's going to do the Oscars. It's a good thing. It ain't a bad thing. Eddie Murphy's gone because I guess that cat Ratner was a friend of his. I don't know. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles, man. You are not... Look at... Wake up, people. I mean, you guys, whether you're a TV producer or you're a this or a that, if somebody who's in a public eye, you have to be careful as to what it is that you say on Twitter. Now, this guy Ratner was saying this stuff at some Directors Guild screening one of his movies. I don't know if they allow the public into those things, and perhaps he thought that everybody was cool. Well, no, they're not, man. No, they're not. And they'll rat your ass so fast. You think you got nothing but fans sitting there? Forget it. So that ended that romance. And then Eddie Murphy, I think, left. Well, here comes Billy Crystal. The guy's fantastic. There's nothing to complain about. Billy Crystal he's such a home run with the Oscars. And either that or bring back Steve Martin.
No, man. They're going to have like Alec Baldwin.
No, they suck.
No, they didn't suck. They were fantastic.
No, well, Alec Baldwin sucked.
No, I thought they were great. Are you kidding me?
No, man, you're wrong about that, man. I'd rather have Billy Crystal than that guy.
All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. What's new with Kane's accusers? Are we ever going to really... What's going to happen with that, man? We'll find
Phil
out.
Phil Hendry.
Attorneys for Principal Responsibility.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Russia's space agency turned the music down. Russia's space agency admitted it was racing the clock today to save its ambitious Mars probe. That's right. Sources told ABC News efforts to send a corrective computer code to the ship's flight controller have failed because they've not been able to communicate with the spacecraft. I didn't even know they were going to Mars.
But you said we.
Well, I say we because it's like the human race, you know.
Yeah, but wait a minute, man. That's the Russians going to go to Mars. We went to the moon. They're going to go to Mars. You know.
All right, good for them. They're going to Mars. Guess what? You know, they can't even contact their freaking, what is this Mars probe anyway, man? We've already been to Mars.
Yeah, well, they're going to put a guy on Mars.
Well, they might be putting a guy on Mars. This is a Mars moon anyway. It's called Phobos or Phobos. This ain't even Mars.
Yeah, you wait, man. They'll put a guy on Mars. You'll see.
Great. I hope they do. I don't give a damn. Let them put a guy on Mars. What's that mean? Russia's going to own Mars or something?
Yeah, they could.
What do you mean they could? What are they going to do? They're going to put Russian troops on Mars?
Well, if they have Mars, it's better than... We got the moon, which is okay.
I'd rather have the moon than Mars.
Why?
Because the moon's closer.
Yeah, what's that got to do with the moon's closer? So?
Well, I mean, we can get to the moon a lot faster, you know. Bud's all worried about whether the Russians are going to take us over or something.
Yeah, because they got a whole planet. All we got a moon.
They got a planet that takes 8 months to get to, man. We got the moon. It takes a week. So we put missiles up there and we blast the hell out of Russia from the moon.
What? Man, you're crazy, man. They got a whole planet they can colonize. Have you ever read
Martian Chronicles? You ever read a Martian Chronicle?
Yeah, I read the Martian Chronicles. Will you guys get serious for a second? The Russians aren't going to take over Mars, all right? How are they going to take over Mars? I got no idea. And so what if they do? So they have themselves a planet that takes you 9 months to get to. What are they going to do, man? They're going to build swimming pools and hotels and stuff?
Maybe. You don't know what they'll be able to do up there.
Look, dude, there's no way that any one country takes over a whole planet. It ain't going to happen. So don't worry about it. I think the Russians ought to land on Mars before us. You know why?
Why?
You want to know why? Because the Mars, because when the Russians go there...
They're going to find out if there are any Martian guys.
No, they ain't going to find out if there's Martian guys.
Well, what if they got a... For instance, what if they get attacked or something?
Will you guys get into the real world for 5 seconds here? I'm not talking about getting attacked by Martian guys. I'm saying let them go to Mars. Let them figure out all the logistics, all the problems... What kind of equipment is needed here? What are they going to need over there? You know, what do they got? Where? What availability is there of water? Because we know there is some water on Mars, but where is it, man? Is it subsurface? Do we have to go to the poles? How much is there? They figure out all that jazz. We take all their data, and then we follow in with our own thing, and they've had to, you know, make all the mistakes.
Oh, I get it. You're talking about them kind of blazing the trail, and then we came in for the easy pickings.
Exactly.
What easy pickings, man?
What?
What easy pickings?
You come in if they find, like, where there's gold. What if they have a gold discovery on Mars? Then we go to Mars and get it.
Gold?
Bud, there's not going to be any gold.
You don't know.
Well, okay. All right, suppose they strike gold on Mars. It'll be the Russians up there striking gold, and we come zooming in with our American spacecraft, and we go, thank you very much, Russians, and we just push them out of the way.
Man, I don't know. They're going to do that.
They ain't going to have nothing to say about it.
Take it easy. You know, that is an interesting point, though. The moon, Mars, all these planets, you know, all of these heavenly celestial bodies that are basically just up there dead. I mean, they're just pieces of rock. In the case of Saturn or Jupiter... They're actually more like mush, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, like Jupiter is this big gaseous ball. That's all gas, man. You know that, right?
What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
All those you've seen Jupiter before, right?
Yeah.
That's all gas. That's not the planet's surface. Yeah, I can tell you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, what do you mean it's mush?
What I'm saying is that band of clouds that surrounds Jupiter is thousands and thousands and thousands of miles deep. It takes thousands of miles to go through that band of clouds to get to anything even resembling a firm planet. And it most likely is not much of anything other than kind of a mush, just a ball of soft elements and liquids and things. It's not yet a firmed up planet.
What are you talking about?
I just got done telling you, man. What do you want me to say? You know, Jupiter is a bunch of clouds.
You mean like that big red spot?
Big red spots is a storm. It's a storm that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years on the planet Jupiter. and all of that band, that funny looking stuff we see that looks like it's a really cool looking planet, it ain't even the planet, man. These are closer clouds. And to get through those clouds, when you finally get to whatever Jupiter is, the actual planet core, it's really not much of, it's they're not even sure, it's they think it's like mushy. It's not formed up into a solid rock yet.
Wow.
Yeah. Same thing with Saturn. Saturn's the same thing. Saturn's a bunch of gas.
Yeah. Saturn got that, rings.
Yeah, it's got rings. That's just a bunch of rocks and stuff. Same thing with Uranus. Don't say it, bud. I'm going to kick somebody's ass. That's got rings, too. Well, yeah.
You bet it does.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Russians are up there, and they're scrambling to save this Phobos probe. The Phobos grunt is what Vladimir Uvarov, a top Soviet space expert, said in an interview on Thursday in the government daily paper. It looks like a serious flaw. The past experience shows that efforts to make the engines work will likely fail. So they've lost their grunt, which is a kind of probe, launched into Earth orbit from one of their space platforms in Russia. The plan was for its upper stage then to boost it on the long flight to Mars, where it was intended to go into orbit in September of 2012. It was supposed to land on Phobos in February 2013, scoop up 7 ounces of soil, and bring it back to Earth in August of 2014. Well, guess what?
Ain't gonna make it.
Now, do you see the time that it takes to get to Mars? Look what they said. It's intended to go into orbit around Mars in September of 2012. Then they schedule it to land on Phobos in February of 2013, scoop up these bits of soil, and then it makes it back to Earth August of 2014. That's a year and several months. That's, what are we talking, 18 months?
Wow, man. One way, huh?
One way, dude. 18 months one way. So, you know, a year and a half to get there, maybe a year and a half, a year to get back, whatever the hell. Let's just call it a year. Let's call it 2.5 years. Of just space travel, and then whatever time you spend on Mars. I mean, you might as well, future astronauts, whoever makes this intrepid journey, the training is going to be unbelievable, to get astronauts prepared for a journey like that.
What about, like, light speed and everything like that?
Get out of here with light speed.
Man, they ain't got no light speed. That's something out of Star Trek. They got the warp coil or what they said you could do it.
Who said you could do what? Just because Star Trek came up with some idea about a warp coil. Jack, we ain't even close to anything like that, so just kiss it goodbye. There's reality, and then there's Star Trek. We're all living in Star Trek land, man. We got to get back to reality here. There ain't no Klingons. There's no Romulans. All we got is a bunch of rocks out there and a bunch of humans that are looking up and saying, wow, where do you want to start?
Yeah, but I mean, what about, you got to be able to have light speed if you're going to go to planets.
Well, maybe there ain't such a thing as light speed. You ever thought about that?
You don't think there is?
I don't know, man. Somebody said, I think Einstein himself said, the closer you get to the speed of light, the denser matter gets. Meaning, we may not be able to get to the speed of light, you know. But then, who says we have to get to the speed of light if we get close?
What do you mean, denser?
As in dumber. No, I'm kidding.
Dumber?
No, I'm kidding. I'm saying it would change us. Physically, okay, the matter, the atoms and molecules that make up our bodies would change, and
what would we become, like rock people?
Yeah, we'd turn into rock people.
I don't know what we would be, but Einstein was theorizing that it's impossible, obviously, to travel at the speed of light, but nobody's talking about traveling at the speed of light. People are talking about approaching those kinds of speeds so that we can at least get close to some of these planets. I mean, if you're looking at a planet that's 100 light years from Earth, it ain't ever, you know, you could be traveling at the speed of light, and it's going to take you 100 years to get there.
Yeah, unless you find a wormhole.
Oh, will you knock it off with that bull crap?
That's what they said.
I'm telling you, Star Trek, man, has done more to get people's heads square up their rear ends when it comes to this stuff. Wormhole.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff is based on, like, what do you call it? Science and everything. I mean, they think there is such a thing.
What do you mean they think? Well, you look at, I don't know whether there's wormholes or whether they think there are such a thing as wormholes. I do know that they know there are black holes, and black holes ain't nothing you want to get close to, man. A black hole is just something that sucks all matter into it, and then that's the end of it. you get ripped to shreds and you become like, you know, there's nothing left. There's, you know, it's a big, dense thing that's sucking in all kinds of matter. That's what the center of the Milky Way is. You ever seen a Milky Way, a picture of it?
Yeah, it's like a big spiral.
Yeah, a big spiral, yeah. What do you think's at the middle of that spiral?
A black hole?
A black hole, man. Why do you think it's spiraling?
That means it's sucking us in. I mean,
Bud, take it easy. It ain't going to suck us in for billions of years, okay? It's... So anyway, the God bless the Russians for trying. Ted Moltzgen, a Canadian satellite observer, said the upper stage never fired on this Phobos rocket. It was supposed to start automatically out of range of Russian communication stations on the ground. He says the ship is in a low elliptical orbit ranging between 129 and 212 miles from Earth. If the Russians can isolate this problem, and it turns out to be something that can be corrected by remote control, perhaps their mission can be saved. But if too much time passes, Mars will gradually move beyond where the ship with a finite fuel supply can reach it. And in the meantime, Earth's atmosphere will gradually slow it from orbit. So they're talking about decay from orbit. They're saying it's not imminent, with the caveat that the spacecraft's rate of orbital decay has yet to be determined. It's a bunch of egghead stuff, meaning...
Russia ain't going to be going on no Mars trip.
It wasn't really a Mars trip. It was a remote control probe like what we sent to Mars. Only our stuff works and theirs doesn't.
Boy, that's a cold shot, though, man.
You can call it a cold shot, but it's true. Our stuff works, theirs doesn't. What do you want me to tell you? All right, we'll be back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com to wrap up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, Ashton Kutcher's Joe Paterno tweet, should celebs manage their own Twitter feeds? According to a post on Kutcher's personal blog, he believed that Paterno had been fired because of his age. You stupid bastard. He later deleted the message and apologized for the tweet, explaining that he didn't know the circumstances of Paterno's dismissal. Kutcher and his wife, Demi Moore, founded the DNA Foundation, which works to end child sex slavery. So it makes the gaffe supposedly noticeable. Well, Kutcher didn't know what the news was, that's all. He's got 13 million?
Yeah, he's got like 13 million people follow him.
If you follow Ashton Kutcher to get the news, you're an idiot. Even Ashton Kutcher would tell you that. Follow me to get the... If you're Ashton Kutcher and you've got people following you to figure out what the news is, you got to be... Well, you're about as dumb as people that follow Perez Hilton to get the news. In other words, he's got opinions. But that doesn't mean that he's giving you the news, you know. Kutcher then announced that he would stop sending personal messages to his now 8 million followers and turn management of the account over to his publicity team at Catalyst Media. Kutcher has been a prolific tweeter and an investor in technology companies. I don't even know if this guy knows what he's talking about. He says personal messages. You mean, are you talking about mentions? Are you talking about direct messages there? Anyway, Twitter gaffes can have serious implications for celebrities. For example, look up Gilbert Gottfried Japan.
What'd he do?
You don't remember the Godzilla stuff? Wasn't that what that is?
I think it was Godzilla, yeah.
That was all that Godzilla stuff last year when, not last year, but earlier this year, when Japan went to hell in a handcart. I mean, with that tsunami, that was brutal. Or Kenneth Cole, Cairo. I don't remember. Oh, Kenneth Cole, the shoe guy, yeah. I forget what he said. See, there is an example, and the people listen to me right now. If I say, yeah, these Twitter gaffes, do you guys remember Kenneth Cole, Cairo? I bet you 90% of the people listening to me right now don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Was that a big one?
Yeah, it was big at the time. The guy was a shoe. So in other words, it depends upon the celebrity as to whether or not people are going to pay attention to what they're saying, you know? So if the celebrity is a Gilbert Gottfried, people are going to pay attention because he is a much more mainstream celebrity. Kenneth Cole, people know his shoes, but I dare say hardly anybody probably ever thought there was a real guy named Kenneth Cole. You know?
You mean, I didn't know that there wasn't a guy named Kenneth Cole.
What do you mean there wasn't a guy named Kenneth Cole?
You're saying a guy, there is a guy.
There is a guy named Kenneth Cole, yeah.
You mean there wasn't?
What's that mean, man?
What does that mean, there wasn't?
You're saying there's a guy named Kenneth Cole, which you didn't know. So you're saying that there used to be not a guy named Kenneth Cole.
Are you listening to what you're saying, man?
You always say that, but you can't answer the question.
What do you mean there didn't used to be a guy named Kenneth Cole? What does that mean?
Man, you're crazy, man.
What do you mean? He said there... He didn't know there was a guy named Kenneth Cole, so I'm just saying...
I know what you're saying. You're saying, so there used to be no Kenneth Cole? No, there didn't used to be no Kenneth Cole, except, I guess, before he was born. Then there was no Kenneth Cole. Or maybe there was a Kenneth Cole, another Kenneth Cole living in another part of the world. Maybe his dad's name was Kenneth Cole. But the Kenneth Cole I'm talking about, before I knew there was a Kenneth Cole, there obviously was a Kenneth Cole. I just didn't know it.
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you don't know what I mean. Of course you don't. You know why you don't? Because you think, Bud, in some weird way, that until I know who the guy is, he doesn't exist. I'm not God.
I know you're not God, but you said you didn't know he existed, so I said...
I know what you said. So, you mean there wasn't a Kenneth Cole before you knew there was one? There's always been a Kenneth Cole, okay? I just didn't know there really was a Kenneth Cole. The point that I'm making, the bigger point that you're completely missing, are these celebrities, when they open their big fat yaps and they say something dumb... Who cares, man? Maybe with Gilbert Gottfried, it got a lot of play because everybody knows who he is. He's very mainstream kind of guy. He's a lot more mainstream than Kenneth Cole.
What about all the guys who buy his shoes?
It doesn't make any difference if you buy his shoes. I'm saying you may buy his shoes, you know, but I'm not exactly hanging around a newspaper or Twitter to see what Kenneth Cole said, man. You see what I'm saying? Kenneth Cole, I mean... All I want that guy to do is make shoes. I don't give a damn what he thinks about anything.
But you may know a lot about shoes.
Yeah, okay, and how's that going to be? What are you talking about, man?
If you want to know about shoes.
If I want to know about shoes, I'll go to the store and I'll look at shoes. Or I'll read an article in a men's magazine, or I don't need to have Kenneth Cole fill me in, even though the guy makes shoes. And as a matter of fact, I don't read Twitter to find out about shoes, man. You know what I'm saying? I read Twitter to just get the lay of the land of the culture. I read Twitter to get a couple of laughs.
Ain't he funny?
Who?
Kenneth Cole.
I don't know. I don't think he's funny. Is he funny?
Man, all you want to do, man, is buy shoes. You don't care what a man says.
Look, if there was Aunt Jemima, you'd follow her on Twitter, I'll bet.
You dirty...
Hey. What is it with you, bud?
Would you follow Aunt Jemima?
Follow Aunt Jemima?
Yeah, you guys are talking about Kenneth Cole. All you're going to do is follow him on account of all he know is shoe.
You know, that is a plural, man. You're going to follow him on account of all he know shoe. I mean, you know.
Yeah, man, learn how to talk.
You learn how to talk. I know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. Nobody knows what you're saying. You're the only guy that knows what he's saying. You're the only guy here that knows what he's saying. You may be the only guy with an earshot of this radio show that knows what you're saying. Kenneth Cole, all he knows is shoe. I'm not going to follow Kenneth Cole on Twitter. Now you ask me, will I follow Aunt Jemima on Twitter? That may be a different story.
Oh, yeah, on account of she makes pancakes, that probably you want to have another fat pet.
Shut up. Blah, 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 blah. Aunt Jemima seems like she'd be a lot more interesting to follow on Twitter, okay? Look at this. Now we blew this whole freaking segment trying to figure out whether Kenneth Cole is worth following on Twitter.
I'd follow Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, you'd have to, because she's black. And it...
Shut up. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry. And, of course, we have Dan Northcraft on board as our technical engineer. The Phil Hendry Show is, of course, available to you online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. Don't forget, our hoodie is in the shop. That's our beautiful Tens of Beverly Hills hoodie. And all the other great things there in our merchandise store. We're broadcasting here every night from the El Pacifico, the land of sea lions and fog. Until tonight, Friday. Till tonight, we'll see you guys. PhilHendryShow.com and a world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.